is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Ori.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Clear Directions with Monica Becker. Monica is the founder of Clear Directions Coaching, a leadership coach and Dalai Lama method facilitator here to introduce you to diverse guests offering education, insights, perspectives, and practical tools intended to assist leaders in resolving their internal and external struggles. Get ready for the next engaging and insightful conversation. Here's Monica now.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to today's show. I am Monica of Clear Directions Coaching, and I'm excited to be on air again with you, and I really appreciate you that you for joining me here either live or by listening to the recorded show. So thank you for being here. As always, I'm speaking to you from North Vancouver in British Columbia, Canada, and I'm excited about today's show because it's a follow-up show that to what I talked about last month, and I'll get more into that in just a moment. As always, if you have any questions throughout the show, please email them to ontheair@telus.net, and I will do my best to address them during the show. And as always, we also have a Q&A segment for live questions if and when time permits, but I'm sure we will get to that. So as you may know, my intention for this radio show is to support you in finding your clear direction for your life and for your leadership. And it's my intention to share experiences and insights and practical tools with you that will help you to get to know yourself better so that you can find your unique path in life and grow your capacity to become the one and only leader of your life. So my show has the overarching topic of leadership with a special focus on self-leadership. And self-leadership I actually define as the ability to live a self-directed life, where you distance yourself from the firm grip that those external voices sometimes seem to have on you. And it's the gravitations, demands, and limitations or judgments that you are confronted with from external and also internal forces. But mostly the external voices are that actually the powers that bring us into that place where we feel like we need to respond and react to the external rather than actually listening to what it is that we really want. So self-leadership means to follow your own internal guidance and intelligence, your desires, your purpose, and your joy, and quieten those external voices that seem to want to pull you in a different direction. Because only when you step into leading that kind of a self-directed life and you take full responsibility for your life experience can you actually live a life without regrets, without apologies, without excuses, and without resentments. And you can be the leader that models such a life for others and inspires them to do the same. Last month, I presented the self-healing Dalian method to you as one powerful tool, a tool, sorry, to help you elevate your leadership in life from the inside out. Because the Dalian method helps you to strengthen the connection to yourself, and it helps you to grow the trust in yourself, the trust in your intelligence and your ability to show up fully in life and leadership. During last month's show, and also after, when I reflected on the show, I actually felt that I wasn't doing a good job at relaying the power of the Dalian method to you. I felt that I was not doing the Dalian method justice, and that I let you, my audience, down by not sharing the information in a relatable and engaging manner. I felt that I was kind of like in a lecturing mode, rather than offering you the information and examples in a way that you could actually relate them to your own life, and that you could really make that connection that the Dalian method could potentially be a tool for you to use as well. So I thought that I would give us a second chance, and for that very reason, today's topic is the Dalian method again. So I call it the Self-Dalian Method Take Two, Principles and Case Studies of this Leading Edge Healing Tool. So this time I will present to you the key principles that underlie the Dalian method. And I will also share with you one or two, depending on time, real life practical examples of how the Dalian method keeps helping people and keeps transforming their lives. So my intention for today's show is that you walk away with a deeper understanding of what this immensely powerful healing tool really is, how it works, and how it may help you and your loved ones in transforming your own life. Towards the end of the show, I will share some ways for you to start working with the tool if it resonates with you. Again, I will take questions throughout the show if you email them to us or live calls during the Q&A segment. Okay, so let's dive in. So I'm sure that at some point in your life, like me, you have had an experience of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual pains or struggles. For example, maybe you had issues with your nervous or immune systems, or which would fall into the physical category. Or you had mental challenges like self-sabotaging thought patterns, a lack of self-confidence, or you might have felt powerless or afraid of rejection or making mistakes. Or you might have been struggling with emotional challenges, just like stress and depression, mistrust, or sadness. And then there are also spiritual issues that many of us are dealing with, like a lack of a sense of purpose, or not to trust our own intuition and feeling inner turmoil. Pretty sure that, like me, you have tried to get rid of the issue, or at least suppress the symptoms, right? Well, hopefully you were able to permanently heal your issues. However, in many cases, the symptoms may disappear for a while, only to keep popping up again later, and oftentimes stronger. Or you keep taking medication to suppress the chronic physical or emotional pain. So how about there was a tool that can actually help us address and transcend our struggles and heal ourselves permanently? And the self-healing Dalian method is such a tool that supports true healing from the inside out. It helps us to spontaneously and without actually using our logical mind to bring to the surface the very root causes of our physical and psychological ailments instead of trying to treat the symptoms. So for the Dalian method, in the context of the Dalian method, true healing does not mean to fix anything or to get rid of pain or to suppress the symptoms of something that feels uncomfortable or painful. It actually means, in the words of Mada Dalian, who is the creator of the Dalian method, true healing is a state of disidentifying from the mind and emotions. And it is to become aware of how our beliefs, desires, and conditionings cause pain and suffering. Therefore, true healing is about becoming aware of the causes of pain and suffering. It's about learning the needed life lessons and transforming our ego mind into self-empowered consciousness. And the same thought then, healing means to let go of attachments to ideologies and to also let go of our need for control and approval. To heal means to transform pain and suffering and achieve a state of inner balance and peace. It means to transcend the fear of death and the unknown and find the eternal presence of the inner being. And that's the end of the quote. So through self-led or facilitator-guided sessions, the self-healing Dalian method helps you get to the root cause of your issues. And it doesn't stay at the surface and just deal with the symptoms. So let me say that again, because that is really important. Through the work with the Dalian method, you get to actually see, understand, and transform the very root cause of your issues. And you're not staying at the surface and just dealing or suppressing or fixing the issues on a superficial level. So the Dalian method helps you in recognizing, in learning from, and releasing the very root causes of your physical, mental, emotional, and also spiritual struggles and pains. So the Dalian method helps you to release all kinds of suppressed and unconscious thoughts and emotions, as well as unhealthy habits that are causing you to suffer and that are in your way of really expressing your authentic, joyful, and creative self. Beliefs and thought patterns that we have accumulated over decades of our lives that are actually in our way of living a healthy life at ease and where we can freely and joyfully, creatively express ourselves. So to fully understand and appreciate the power of the Dalian method and how it can actually be so effective, it's imperative that we understand the key principles in which the Dalian method is rooted. So let me share those with you. The Dalian method works with the following core principles. The first one is that many unexpressed layers of thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and conditionings, cellular memory. And those thoughts and emotions and beliefs, they run as invisible programs inside of us. And they are blocking the free flow of energy through the body. And they are actually causing the pain, discomfort, and disease. So it is those unexpressed and repressed layers of thoughts and emotions that are actually causing our struggles on the surface. So that is the first core principle, to understand that it is those thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and conditionings that are the root cause for our suffering. The second core principle is we hold are based on conditionings and the conclusions we make from our life experiences. And the conditionings are coming from our society, from politics, and from religion, and other influences that we are exposed to. But they like influence us to a degree that we start forming beliefs based on those conditionings. And those beliefs are embodied, like we embody them. And they are actually causing us to then struggle. As I said before, those layers of beliefs and repressed thoughts and emotions are the root cause for our struggles, are caused by the conditioning that we're all exposed to. So that's the second core principle. The third core principle is that in order for us to eradicate pain and illness, we must access and work with the root causes of those ailments instead of their symptoms. So we need to get to the very bottom to understand what is causing the pain and the struggles in order to deal with the root cause rather than just eliminating or suppressing the pains and struggles that we are experiencing on the surface. Now, the fourth key principle is that all answers are within. Consciousness within our being is the master key that can permanently dismantle all of our unconscious beliefs and conditionings and liberate our soul from the story created by our ego mind. So in other words, we hold our wisdom and our intelligence and our answers within. And our consciousness that we are all made of is actually the master key to our healing by us connecting or reconnecting to the consciousness with which is our essential nature that has been dulled by all of the conditioning. So by us reconnecting with that consciousness, that is the key step that helps us to liberate our energy and our soul and let go of the constructs of the ego mind and therefore live a life that is rooted in our unique identity and our unique energy, right? That only us, each of us, can bring to the world. So in a few words, the fourth core principle is that all answers are within, coming from our consciousness. And then the fifth core principle is that the consciousness that we reconnect with must be grounded in our entire body to then achieve a complete and lasting healing and transformation, which means that once that we connect to this consciousness again, that we need to do it physically in the whole body in order to let it completely sink in and penetrate our body and our being. So let me just, so those were the five key principles of the Dalian method. And I would just like to read a quote to you again by Mada Eliza Dalian, who is the creator of the Dalian method, which kind of like summarizes these core principles and how the Dalian method works. Trying to substitute negative beliefs with positive ones, or instead of using the cognitive mind to explore and analyze self-sabotaging dysfunctional behavior patterns, the Dalian method unleashes the memory of past painful experiences, allowing what is trapped in the body to be freely lived, released, and transformed. And that's the end of the quote. Okay, so I promised to you a couple of case studies which will exemplify how the Dalian method works and the power and the extent of its abilities. So the first case study that I wanted to share with you is about Jandy. In 2008, Jandy had a bad fall and she cracked her skull. And Jandy, I should give you some context, she had already been in connect, in contact with Mada and worked with Mada Dalian, the creator of the Dalian method, for 8 years at that time. So they were friends, and they have been working together. So now Brandy, as I said, had a bad fall. She cracked her skull, and she had a traumatic brain injury, which caused her like lots of issues and also stabbing headaches. She also severely shattered her vertebrae in a couple of places, and was really, like, her body was sincerely and seriously damaged. So Jandy, while her body had suffered this kind of extreme damage, Jandy internally knew, said that she had actually experienced a miracle and that she had been given the gift of survival. So she felt internally, she felt utterly at peace, while her physical body obviously was struggling with all of the injuries. Dalian came to see her. And during the visit, Mada actually said to Jandy that she looked great, because Mada has the ability to actually recognize the full internal impact of Jandy's fall, and she noticed the shift in consciousness and energy that Jandy had gone through. And Mada also has the unusual ability of reading people's energies and the thoughts that are repressed in their energy. So during Mada's visit, Jandy then experienced a bout of the extreme stabbing headache that she had been experiencing after her fall. And Mada, being who she is, she intuitively knew what she had to do and how she could help Jandy. And she led her through an impromptu Dalian method session. And with her unusual gift of being able to read other people's energies and the thoughts that are repressed in their energy, Mada then was able to help Jandy connect to her inner knowing. And within minutes into that session, Jandy was able to realize that due to other people's fears and concerns, like her parents or friends around her, they were all concerned about her. So Jandy realized that due to other people's fears and concerns, she had repressed her own inner knowingness, that she was okay and had nothing to worry about. And with Mada's help, she was able to verbalize this awareness of her inner well-being and anchor it in her whole body from tip to toe. And as a result, the stabbing pain stopped as soon as they had completed the session, and it never came back, not even once. I actually read a part of Jandy's testimonial about her experience, which you can also find in the foreword of the book that is part of the Dalian Method Healing System. So Jandy says, the disabling impact of my devastating injury could have lasted for years, or perhaps even my whole life, if it had not been for Mada's treatment. I recovered with extraordinary speed and ease, and without the need of any medications. When I went for a follow-up appointment with my neurosurgeon, he too was surprised at the speed and progress of my recovery. In particular, he could not believe that I no longer had headaches. He questioned me about this, saying that statistically, everyone would normally experience headaches of injury. I told him about the quick healing I received from Mada's method. He was intrigued by the extraordinary results he saw from an unconventional method and said, well, maybe she knows something we don't. I thought to myself, yes, she absolutely does. And isn't it wonderful that you are open to that possibility? This experience made a tremendous difference in my life, not for that moment alone, but for the years that have followed. Since that day, I've never again doubted my inner voice and my inner well-being. After my accident, I completed a university degree and now hold a full-time position in helping people with disabilities. I create programs to help them move forward towards greater health and independence. Among many stories of dramatic transformations that have happened as a result of Mara's gifts and the method of healing that she has created. The Dalian method is truly unique healing technique. It stands out from other healing modalities in a multitude of ways. One of its outstanding qualities is that you don't need ongoing treatments to endlessly deal with the same issue. Mara's work and her healing system don't encourage dependence. The Dalian method helps people to rely on and use their own inner strength and power. And that's the end of the quote that I wanted to share with you from Jandy. So let me pause here for a moment. Do you have questions about what I shared with you so far? Does what I have shared make sense? Are there any details that you would like to dig a little deeper into? And maybe, do you have any questions about how the Dalian method could actually apply to your particular life right now? Any of the struggles that you might be dealing with? So either, connect with us by email, or you could also call in, and the call-in number is 1-646-595-4274, and that will allow you to ask your questions live. Call-in number is 1-646-595-4274. Okay, so while we're waiting to see if there are any callers coming in, maybe I'll just share a couple of snippets of my own life that actually helped me in dealing with some of my deeper issues that have been showing up in my life over and over again until I started working with them with the Dalian method. Issues that I have personally been using the Dalian method for was that for the longest time I have felt a level of unsafety, like just not feeling safe in the world. I have this underlying belief that the world is not a safe place and that I sometimes have trouble trusting other people and myself. So in one of my recent sessions that I did by myself at home with the Dalian method is that I actually realized that my safety never is determined by the external world, but that my safety within me, that even if there is turmoil in the external world, that I can feel the sense of quiet and calm and safety just from within me. And that was nothing totally like world-changing in realization, but I somehow understood it and became aware of this at a much deeper level. And then in the subsequent session, which I felt inspired to do around the same topic, I then became aware of a deeper understanding and a deeper connection, which is that I actually have used the perceived threat that I thought was coming from other people, like a threat of judgment or rejection that I thought that other people would send towards me. So I realized that I've used those perceived threats from other people as an excuse to hide and to actually shy away from taking responsibility for my own life. And that actually was a realization and an awareness that I had, not had to that date, and I hadn't really made that connection that I was standing in my own way of feeling safe in the world by allowing myself, as I said, by using the perceived threat that came from other people as an excuse to hold back and to not live my life fully. So while this may not be a super life-changing insight, actually for me, on the outside, for me, actually, it really connected me just once again with my own power. And it put me in a position where I could feel in control about my life at a new level. And it also created the curiosity within me to now explore a little bit further what it is that keeps me not wanting to take responsibility for my life. And so as I keep peeling away those layers of how I see myself and how I see the world and how all of that shapes my behavior in the world, the Dalian method really helps me to see how I have in many cases influenced my own life and determined my destiny by keeping beliefs and thoughts and emotions alive that were actually no longer serving me. And this is not to say that this is the case for everybody, right? But for me personally, especially with the last few sessions that I went through, it really helped me to come to an understanding of how I personally am responsible for the experience, how I experience the world around me and how I experience myself in the world. And that is a powerful insight and a powerful awareness, which makes me, first of all, feel safer again, because I know that my safety comes from within myself and is not determined by the external world. And that inner safety, nobody can touch, nobody can thwart it, nobody can take it away from me. And that's just a wonderful and relieving and empowering insight, which really helped me to be empowered and to feel strengthened within myself, right? So that's just one of my recent experiences, and I'm just seeing here's a question actually about how long does it take to see these kind of changes? That's a really great question. Thank you so much. Well, actually, every Dalian method session creates a change, similar to what I explained with Jandy's experience. The changes are instantaneously, like that inner shift in awareness and consciousness happens instantaneously. Sometimes, of course, it takes time to integrate that new level of consciousness into our whole being and to adjust our behaviors in the external world. That may take some time, right? So that actually for this new awareness and consciousness to settle into our body and our being can take a few weeks, sometimes a few months. However, that internal shift in perception and consciousness, that happens immediately. And from my own experience, sometimes throughout a Dalian method session, my mind sometimes tries to come into the session, although I do my best to focus on the body, which is an essential part of the Dalian method work, that it is very body focused. But sometimes when my mind tries to sneak in and kind of like ask me whether the session is really working or not, if I'm not instantaneously feeling something, even if I have those moments of doubt in between the sessions, at the end, like every single time without fail, I come to a new awareness, I come to a shift in consciousness, and to a level of freeing up some energy that had been blocked before. So for me personally, the Dalian method works without fail. Some changes are a little bit more dramatic than others, but overall, this is like without fail, every single time I'm walking away with a new insight, a new awareness, a deeper level of calm and peace and understanding of myself, others, or the world. And there is another question, which is, what is the most dramatic change that I've seen in clients? Like for myself, it was probably one client who had issues with asthma and bronchitis and a very like a chronic cough, an issue in he had issues with coughing basically, and so I facilitated a session for him, and what happened for him then is that he actually connected like his cough and his, which is also, and his throat issues that he had, they were connected to issues that he had around his relationship with his father, where he hadn't actually spoken up about how he felt about the relationship to his father, and actually his father not giving him love and attention in the way that he had hoped to as a younger man. So throughout the Dalian method session, then he connected with that issue and with the thoughts and emotions that he had repressed for so long and never actually shared with his father. And throughout the Dalian method, which encourages the user to express all of those thoughts that come up verbally out loud and actually say what we haven't said for sometimes many, many years. So he expressed all of that throughout the Dalian method session. And then for the next few weeks, if not months, he was actually like his cough actually dramatically decreased. And he noticed, an improvement in those symptoms. I haven't checked in with him since. However, that was one of the really like a dramatic change that I was able to see within one of my clients after just one session, right? And for some people, like in Jandy's case, the symptoms, they disappear permanently. And for other people, they may just need another session or two, right? Because can imagine, like over decades, we keep thinking the same thoughts again, or we keep repressing our emotions over and over again. So sometimes there's thick layers of blocked energy that needs to be freed up. So sometimes we may need a couple of sessions to then permanently release an issue. However, after every session, there is an improvement. And the internal shift that happens in the level of awareness and connection to our true essence, that is permanent, and that shift cannot be taken away. Okay, so those were my answers to those two questions. Are there any other questions or comments from the audience about, do you have any questions about how the Dalian method works practically? Or maybe that's something that I can just spend a minute or two in, is that the Dalian method actually, I just saw an email come in here. See if there is another. Okay, well, there is another question about how can we apply what you're talking about into our daily lives and the current state of the world today? Okay, well, that's almost two questions. So let me talk to the first part first, which is how can we apply what you're talking about into our daily life? Basically, the work with the Dalian method, once that you find it helpful, at least from my own experience, it becomes part of my lifestyle. So whenever I notice, for example, that I am triggered by somebody's behavior or what they are saying, I always bring it back to myself and I become curious about how come that I'm triggered and what it is that I'm triggered about, but more it's like how come that I'm triggered. And the Dalian method offers me then a tool with which I can connect to that feeling of maybe it's anger or it's frustration. And by starting the session out with that connection to that emotion, and I go through the Dalian method session, it always connects me to a deeper understanding what it is inside of me that actually triggers my response. So it's not about blaming the other person for making me feel frustrated or angry. The Dalian method helps me to connect to my own role that I play in that interaction and what part I, at a deeper level, play in this experience that I'm having. So from that point of view, the Dalian method offers us a tool that we can use every day by dealing with the experiences, the emotions that happen in our day-to-day interactions with other people. And it offers us a practical way of exploring what are the root causes for these issues and how we can change them deeply internally and how we can adjust our own behavior and our own way of thinking in order to create a different quality in our life experiences. Now, the second part of the question that was asked is, how can we apply what I'm talking about to the current state of the world today? Well, it's a broad question, and let me just pinpoint that aspect that I think is most relevant to all of us, which is that we are responsible for our own life experience, which means that whatever is happening in the world as a large, of course, and we are large of how we respond to what is happening in the world. And we are in charge of owning and our own feelings and our own interactions that come as a result of it. Put differently, like, okay, yes, there is lots happening in the world that personally, for example, I don't agree with everything that's happening. I felt my own frustration and anger about it. And the thing that I can control and that I have power over and that I am responsible for is how I position myself towards any and all of that. Because I do not have to be in constant turmoil and constantly mull over the things that I don't like or don't appreciate. I can always bring my focus and attention to my own inner world, and with the help of the Dalian method, I can strengthen my sense of self. I can strengthen and increase my level of calm and peace within myself, which will then enable me to deal with all of the external troubles and turmoil and injustices and threats and fear in a more empowered, in a more peaceful, and in a calmer way. So in other words, whatever we are triggered by the outside world, and what we see as an injustice and what we are afraid of, the Dalian method is a tool that helps us to understand why we might be afraid, triggering our responses to what's happening in the outside world. And it brings us back to our own power and our own sense of being able to deal with whatever it is that the outside world reflects back, like what the outside world looks like. And it helps us to come to a place of empowerment from within, which doesn't mean that we'll necessarily change the external world. The external world does whatever it does. However, with the Dalian method, we learn to bring it back to us and strengthen ourselves in the way that we have greater power over our own life and how we respond to whatever is going out in our external world. So even with all of the turmoil that's going on in the external world, Dalian method, actually, it has helped me to come to a place of more acceptance and peace and still joy, even if there is lots of troublesome things happening in the world, right? But it doesn't have to affect me in a way that I'm totally, my life is determined by whatever is happening in the external world. I hope that answered the question so far. Hey, are there any other questions or remarks that you would like to make? If so, call in or send me an email. And I think I also was just telling you a few more details about the what a Dalian method actually looks like. Basically, the Dalian method is a recording that Mada Dalian has recorded herself. She has created it herself. And this recording is a set of instructions. And the instructions are all centered around breathing in, and then expressing out what it is that you connect with, that your body's messages, which are oftentimes those suppressed thoughts and emotions that we're holding in our bodies, expressing them out loud, and then breathing out through different parts of your body. That is at the core essence. That's what the Dalian method is all about, where sometimes there are some reflective questions that are answered throughout the session. But basically, it's that very body-focused process that helps you to connect with going on in your body at the time and to connect to your repressed thoughts and feelings, to express them out loud, and to release that energy from your body and from your whole body energy. So that's the, in a nutshell, that's what the Dalian method looks like. And there are two different lengths of sessions. One is an hour long, one is an hour and a half long. And it comes with a book that describes the core principles and how the Dalian method works and gives you instructions on how to prepare for the session. And most importantly also, how to design some action items, because all of the Dalian method is very pragmatic in that it also encourages you or us to integrate our insight and awareness into our day-to-day life, but by taking action and by designing things that we want to do in order to implement and to act on our insights and new awareness. So that's kind of like what the practical part of the Dalian method is. And so this brings us to almost to the end of the show. Now the segment which is called the shameless self-promotion. And I have two things to share with you there. Of course, if you are interested at all to learn more about the Dalian method, what I would encourage you to do is go to Mada Dalian's website for many more details about the Dalian method. and some more of Mada's other offerings. And that website is madadalian.com. Let me spell that out for you. It's MADADALIAN. It's all in one word, madadalian.com. And also, if you would like to, if you have some more questions about the Dalian method and you'd just like to have a quick chat, or you need some help with understanding how to run a session or any other practical support that you would like, I invite you to book yourself in for a free clarity session with me. And the application form for that is found, you can find it on my website. And my website is cleardirections.ca. Clear directions, the plural, all in one word, cleardirections.ca. And when you go to the coaching, personal coaching tab on my website, you will see an option to the free clarity session, and that's where you will find the application form. Of course, you can also email me, which would be Monica with a K, at cleardirections.ca. So if you've got, as I said, if you've got any more questions or you just like to research the Dali method a little more, go to Mada's website or connect with me for a free clarity session, and I'll be happy to answer any of your questions and support you as much as I can. Okay, well, I thank you for your attention and for joining me here again today. And I hope that you will be joining me again in October for another version of the Clear Directions radio show. Okay, until then, be well, and yeah, keep yourself safe and healthy. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for being here, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
News for the Soul Radio will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser-known realms to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul to uncover truths and techniques to best maneuver through challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover hosts and radio shows, and also to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interviews with luminaries of our times speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial. We are here for you. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so others can avail themselves to this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Breathe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Danny just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, two heart attacks, right? One heart after the other.
Yeah, that's what I
said.
Wow.
No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap, you know? I mean, what have you got?
Like it is, girl.
Well, really, what have you got to give anyone if you've got nothing?
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Candace is going bye-bye.
Yes, I had this really bizarre experience where I got sucked through a wall, like a solid wall.
During the time that I was knocked unconscious, an angel came to me.
People's solidity began to morph with the geometries. So you'd see little bits of their, like their hand began to go missing.
And this particular angel, as I recount in the book, said to me that I had chosen the wrong path in life, that I was to choose a new path, and it was to be a path of peace. I was to teach peace.
Lots of amazing things coming up for this hour. News for the Soul. Steve, I'm back in 1 minute.
I'd have to believe that the times that we're in are very important to us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because if we're not really, really careful in paying and complimenting News for the Soul, we're about to find ourselves wrapped up in something that will literally encompass the world.
Yeah.
And not from the viewpoint that we're looking at it from.
So tonight, it is an empowerment, a place to become aware, a place to change, a place to not become fear-based, but become loving.
Let's all take that deep breath.
Staying connected to each other and reminding each other about, you know, holding this energy, not getting sucked up into all that, like all that garbage on TV for the last 3 days, just showing all the reruns of all the people falling out of the skyscrapers on the 11th, and, you know, just over and over wallowing in the low frequency.
Creating a mindset, though.
Exactly.
Nicole, that's the mindset. That is a controlled mindset to change people's consciousness.
Exactly.
To create a way at which that they can be controlled to make a decision like war or not war.
Totally.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Everybody, welcome to Wednesday in September. It's a cloudy, overcast day for us, but we're still choosing to make it a great day. Those rainy days, we've had actually quite a few of them, and you should always appreciate them, not only for the rain that we need for our gardens, but also to eliminate those negative, positive ions and balance the negative ones. Okay, so today we've got an article. I've called it Remdesivir, which is the prescription that they're using in the States for COVID, but we're not going to talk about that till the end. Because I wanted to go over some information. I've used two pretty broad articles to start with. The references, of course, are right there for you. But just to give you an overview, there is just so much garbage on the regular media, and they are really struggling to misinform people, to do the fear-mongering that we've talked about for the last year and a half. So let's just go over this. This first article is from healthimpactnews.com. Now, it's been up there. It's a website that we've been referencing for a long time now. Every time I've checked the resources are really good for it. But it's predominantly European, and so it uses a European database. And from it, there's a claim that as of September 11th, 24,526 are dead from the jab. 2,317,495 injuries, that teens are 50 times more likely to develop heart disease after taking the shot than all other FDA-approved vaccines in 2021 combined. Another article says that teens injected have 7.5 times more deaths, 15 times more disability, 44 times more hospitalizations than all the FDA-approved vaccines in 2021. The CDC, these are the European CDCs, admits that the stats are true, and yet it still recommends the shot. In another article on the same site, 32,000 dead in Brazil after the shot. In another article on the site, a board-certified occupational therapist is a whistleblower who claims that more patients are dying from the shot than from COVID, which many, many are saying that. In another article, 1,270 premature deaths, fetal deaths, following the shot. In another article, 5,522 people died in Scotland within 28 days of getting the shot. In another article, another CDC whistleblower, and we went over this earlier, 45,000 deaths within 3 days in the U.S., within 3 days of taking the shot, reporting on the media. But that's the actual numbers. Now let's go to another article, a website. It's called Vaccine Death Report. I really like this website. It's a newsletter, actually. So I'm going to give a whole series of quotes. So if you go to the article that Nicole has posted on newsforthesoul.com, you can go to the reference of this article. It is like a 50-page article. You can skip through it. It's well orchestrated, well organized. You can look for the different parts that you want or read the whole thing. So I'm going to read a whole bunch of different quotes from that article. It's a beautifully well-written article. The topic is Vaccine Death Report, StopWorldControl.com. It's by David John Ornson and Dr. Vladislav. I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry, doctor. The question at the title is there evidence of millions of deaths and serious adverse events result from these experimental COVID-19 injections? So the purpose of the article, the purpose of this report is to document how all over the world millions of people have died, hundreds of millions of serious adverse events have occurred after injections with the experimental mRNA gene therapy. We also reveal the real risk of an unprecedented genocide. The facts? Our aim is to always present scientific facts and stay away from unfounded claims. The data is clear and verifiable. References can be found with all the presented information, which is provided as a starting point for further investigation. This article is very, very well referenced. So if you want to go to the article, please do. I've given you the reference for it. And you can see every page has numerous references for it, and the references are good references. Next item is complicity. The data suggests that we may currently be witnessing the greatest organized mass murder in the history of the world. The severity of this situation compels us to ask this critical. Will we rise up to the defense of billions of innocent people, or will we prefer personal profit over justice and be complicit? Networks of lawyers all over the world are preparing class action lawsuits to prosecute all who are serving this criminal agenda. To all those who have been complicit so far, we say there is still time to turn and choose the side of truth. Please make the right choice. So that's at the very beginning of the article. There's a number of other components at the beginning, but those are the three I chose. I went down to I don't know what page that was all over the article. It's an article that's been posted several times, so it's not like it's a new article. However, the next part is at least five times more deaths. Vaccine deaths are severely unreported and have assessed that the deaths occurring within 3 days of vaccination are higher than those reported in VAERS, VAERS is the American program, by a factor of at least five. The CDC is also vastly underreporting other adverse events like severe allergic reactions, anaphylaxis. The Informed Consent Action Network, ICANN, reported that a study showed that the actual number of anaphylaxis is 50 to 120 times higher than the acclaimed or claimed by CDC. 50 to 120 times higher. Now, I used to get anaphylactic reactions according to Western medicine and naturopathic medicine. Once you get an anaphylactic reaction, say to peanut butter or to bees or to whatever, it will simply get faster and worse each time you get it. Now, I've totally eliminated mine. And as much as I tell people, keep your iPad with you just in case the same protocol doesn't work for you, we've eliminated it for five other people. So you might want to take that into consideration, totally against what conventional medicine would tell you. All right, next part is what the analysis of all the case numbers is telling us right now is that there are approximately 150,000 cases that are missed, that were there, that are no longer there. So the question is, are they all deaths? We don't know. They're missing. Maybe the worst example of corrupt methodology used to hide vaccine deaths is the incredible fact that the CDC doesn't consider a person vaccinated until 2 weeks after the injection. Therefore, everyone who dies within the first 2 weeks after being injected is not considered a vaccine death. Get that again. Anyone that dies within 2 weeks of getting the injection is not considered a vaccine death. Holy cow. They go on to identify a report that we've identified before, the Lazarus report from Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. There's another one in 2013. This one was done in 2009. And it revealed that in general, only 1% of adverse events from vaccines are being reported. The 2013 study said the same thing. It was under 1%. And they give a whole bunch of different reasons why. But the fact is, if only 1% are being reported, they're claiming, you know, say 12,000 deaths, 150,000 deaths are missing. Are you willing to listen to anything that they say? Well, that's an individual choice. Let's go on. Quote continues, adverse events from drugs and vaccines are common, but underreported. Although 25% of ambulatory patients experience an adverse event, less than 0.3% of all adverse drug events and 1 to 13% of serious events are reported to the FDA. Fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. So think of that when you see numbers come out from the different CDCs. A local ABC, I'm continuing the from another component further down. A local ABC news station posted a request on Facebook for people to share their stories of beloved unvaccinated that have died. They want to make a news story of this. But what happened next was totally unexpected. In 5 days' time, over 200,000 people posted comments, but not about unvaccinated beloved ones. All the comments talk about vaccinated loved ones that died shortly after being injected or that were permanently disabled. The 200,000 comments reveal a shocking death wave among the population and the heart-wrenching suffering these injections are causing. The post was already shared 184,000 times and counting. Very different than what's being posted in our media. Okay, let's see. The following are a few of the stats provided in this article. Note, this is really important to note. There is a 99.7% recovery rate. Why are we experiencing all these deaths? Why are we suffering these deaths from the jabs when there is a 99.7% recovery rate? Come on, people, wake up. Okay, let's go to the European Union. As of August 18th, 22,000 people died and 2 million suffered side effects, of which 50% are serious. Netherlands, smallest country in the EU. Note, in the Netherlands, there isn't any government push, any government initiative to get the jab, no media coverage, and yet 1,600 deaths and 1,200 severe health damages. In the UK, 100,000 adverse events. Now, adverse events, let's just elaborate that on a little bit. That means or includes blindness, strokes, miscarriages, heart failure, paralysis, autoimmune disease, etc. After the first wave of immunization, this isn't up to August. This is after the first wave, way back. Miscarriages increased by 366% in 6 weeks. And yet we have, I don't even want to call her a doctor. I get so angry with her. But our Bonnie in BC that tells us what to do and how to do. And I get angry every time she opens her mouth. But she says, pregnant women. And yet in 6 weeks, they had a 366% increase in miscarriages just in the UK alone. And you call that safe? No wonder she has lawsuits against her. Okay, let's move on. Israel, as of August 5th, a private team of doctors, attorneys, criminologists, epidemiologists, and academic researchers, which are suppressed by the government, received 3,750 reports, including 480 deaths. Now, this is a government or a team that's suppressed by the government. Remember what I said there. The group states that it represents 1 to 3% of the true occurrences. They estimate, granted it's an estimation, but considering how they're repressed by the government, so they got their figures, they estimate that the death in Israel is around 48,000. With adverse events accounting to 370 events. Holy cow. As soon as the jabs were introduced in Israel, the death count, listen to this, the death count went from 1 to 3 per day to 75 to 100 per day once the jab was introduced. Really? And you're still pushing it? Let's look at Brazil. Deaths from the jab in the first 5 months was 32,000. Now let's go back again. What did I say the recovery rate was? 99.7% recovery. And yet they had 32,000 deaths 5 months and still proclaim it's the best way to control the disease, the computer-generated virus. What are the possible issues that come from the jab? Well, death, number one. Cells becoming factory machines, making spike 1 proteins that cause blood clots, which cause heart attacks and strokes. Heart inflammation, huge increases in miscarriages. Antibody-dependent enhancement, infertility, and reduced sperm count. Talk about the eugenics. We talked about that several times, who's involved in eugenics from the Gates and his father to Fossey to the Rockefellers to, yeah, it goes way back to the 1800s. We've talked about that several times. And then we have the huge number of neurological issues, paralysis, blindness, autoimmune diseases, et cetera, and yet they're still pushing the jab. Now, the really big issue is that vaccine manufacturers are exempt from any liability. Whether you've got paralyzed for the rest of your life. Now you're blind for the rest of your life. You've miscarried your child. You've got an autoimmune disease. It doesn't matter. They don't care because they make billions of dollars doing this. They have no accountability, no responsibility around the world. The governments have ensured that pharmaceutical companies that produce vaccines are not held accountable. When we phone insurance companies, now this is a real joke. It's like phoning the Income Tax Department, Revenue Canada. Every time you phone, you get a different answer. If you're held, if you get a disorder, a disability, you know, if somebody dies from the jab, do they pay out? No, because you chose to take an experimental drug. The fact that the government is pushing it, the media is pushing it, doesn't matter. Now, sometimes peaceful, and the answer is no. So who knows? According to this report, again, the same report that we've been working on, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Nigeria, Canada, which I'm ashamed to say, and the Netherlands are the leading culprits in this tyrannical system. Okay, let's go on to the next component of the article. A world-renowned vaccine developer, Gert van den Bosch, who's an MVD PhD, warns, quote, mass vaccination campaigns during a pandemic of highly infectious variants fail to control viral transmission. Instead of contributing to building herd immunity, they dramatically delay natural establishment of herd immunity, which, by the way, I'll just let you know, is a heck of a lot stronger than pharmaceutical-imposed immunity. That's been proven over and over again. This is why the ongoing universal vaccination campaigns are absolutely detrimental to public and global health. Absolutely detrimental to public and global health. Next. Quote, the Israeli minister, Naftali Bennett, even says that the people who are most at risk now are those who have received two doses of the vaccine. Most at risk, those who have received the two doses of the vaccine. Now, Anthony Fauci, someone else I refuse to refer to as a doctor, made it crystal clear. The quote from him is, the CDC is considering mask mandates for the vaccinated. The vaccinated increasingly test for. They will need to keep wearing masks. The vaccinated still need to avoid eating in restaurants, and the vaccinated carry the Delta variant as much as the unvaccinated. That's coming from Fauci, who we know lies through his teeth left, right, and center and contradicts himself all the time, but that actually came out of his mouth. So according to Fauci, that millions of people actually still think he's a hero, and I go along with the people way back to the 90s who want to hang them for crimes against humanity. But that being said, I'm going to read this again. So according to Fauci, the vaccines basically do nothing. Yet he insists on mandating these useless injections for travel. Oh, that just makes me so angry. I hope it makes you angry too. He's killing people, causing people to be paralyzed, to be blind, to die, when he himself acknowledges it's useful. Now we go on to the UK's Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who said, can I now meet my friends and family members indoors if they are vaccinated? There, I'm afraid the answer is no, because we're not yet at that stage. We're still very much in the world where you can meet friends and family outdoors under the rule of six or two households. And even if your friends and family members, many may be vaccinated, the vaccines are not giving 100% protection, and that's why we need to be cautious. Yeah, right. Actually, many whistleblowers coming out of the hospital saying that the people in trouble in the hospitals are the ones that are double vaccinated. I've heard that from so many whistleblowers, both nurses and doctors. And many nurses are saying they try and tell the doctors and the doctors refuse to listen, cut them off, turn away, etc. Why? They're being bought. They're being told what to do. They're being told to lie. They are not protected. It's the ones that have the intellect to stand up to the system and say, enough is enough. This is a lie. Come on, people, wake up. Let's go on to another part of the article, our research article by Dr. Barr Klassen, published in Trends in Internal Medicine. The title of the article, U.S. COVID-19 Vaccines Proven to Cause More Harm than Good based on pivotal clinical trial data analyzed using the proper scientific endpoint. All cause severe morbidity. I'm actually going to take a sidestep here and give you two different components that we've addressed over the years, but we'll interject it here. I just get so angry, in case you couldn't tell. Number one, about years ago now, 2,700 medical protocols were assessed. 12% were considered effective. 2,700 medical protocols and 12 were assessed to be effective. 50 were ineffective, and the remaining 38% was a toss-up. Can you believe that? 2,700 medical protocols and 12% were considered to be effective. This isn't new, people. This is why I left conventional medicine and went into real medicine. All right. There was another one I was going to bring out. Well, let's not forget 99% of prescription drugs deplete the body of nutrients. So when you're already compromised, they're going to give you a prescription drug that has toxins in it and deplete your body of nutrients. Brilliant. Very sarcastic, in case you didn't catch that. Another one. 48% of the 250 most commonly prescribed drugs cause cancer. We've told you that several times now over the years. And the third one that we've told you again is the number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction, those organelles in the cells that produce the fuel. The number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction are pharmaceutical drugs. We have been royally scammed when it comes to Western medicine. And that probably started, I'll go out on a limb here, because in 1928 is when Rockefeller took it over. He introduced the medical union. He went around, and the medical university departments could only get grant money if they abided by his rules. And we've gone down ever since. Now, on the upside, when it comes to things like being in a car accident, having a heart attack, having a broken leg, what have you. You go to the hospital, you get it fixed and dealt with as soon as possible, but get out of there as fast as you can. Even in the emergency room. We've gone over this a few years ago. In Canada, it was even identified as 88%, and that was considered a low number, of emergency room diagnoses were incorrect. 88%. Wow. Okay, that's my other rant. Let's get back to the rant we started out with today. Holy cow. We even heard an email released by a whistleblower. Now, this one I haven't been able to confirm. I'm trying to get the original source on. Of course, it's hard because it is a whistleblower. But I've given you the URL that you can go and listen to it. I think it's around 40 minutes. I remember this was from a couple of weeks ago. But the whistleblower said, reading an email that got leaked, saying they were going to take the Indian hay fever and market it as the Delta variant. It hadn't even occurred yet, but they were already preparing for it. It's like, really? We're crying out loud. Like I said, I haven't been able to validate the claim, but you can go to the website and listen to it. It's breaking news. The Supreme Court in the U.S. has ruled that the COVID pathogen is not a vaccine, is unsafe, and must be avoided at all costs. The Supreme Court canceled universal, blah, blah, blah. It's from Best News Here, www.thebookofbeauty.com if you want to go to the site. Okay. 99.7% recovery rate for this computer-generated virus that has over 4,000 patents, never mind the 173 patents just on the spike 1 protein. And despite it going back to 1998, and despite the fact that we've heard interviews, actually Dr. David Martin goes really well on explaining how the entire script was written out. I forget the name of the company, but both Fauci and Gates were on the board. Surprise, 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 people. Okay, despite the fact that there is an incredibly high number of deaths and serious adverse events from the jab, and despite the fact that they admit the jab doesn't even protect you, why the H are they still pushing it? Well, you gotta know there's some ulterior agenda, and we're working really hard fighting it in Canada. They want to put out a passport based on the vaccine. The passport is nothing to do with your health. It has nothing to do with the CG virus. It has nothing to do with the actual vaccine. The vaccine is just another way to get control where you go. They can control your finances. They can control your access to food, to education, to medicine, to what have you. This is all about control, and this is what we've been saying for a year and a half. Wake up, people. This has nothing to do with your health, and this has nothing to do with the CG virus. It was just a stepwise process to get you to a place where they can control you, taking away. And hey, look at what they've done the last year in terms of lockdowns, in terms of you have to wear a mask that actually works against you. You have to stay 6 feet away. You're not allowed to develop herd immunity, right? That's the whole point in that, as far as I'm concerned. Never mind, you're not allowed to let people congregate in order to have all the rallies. We're getting hundreds of thousands of people in these rallies around the world, but is any of it on the media?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the real media. Okay, Ali has to continue here. Okay, now here's an... Now I finally get to remdesivir, which I said I would talk about at the beginning. And this makes me even angry. In case you haven't noticed, I get really angry and passionate about this stuff. If you want to have a vaccine or a jab, this isn't even a vaccine. It doesn't meet any of the criterion for a vaccine. If you want to go have a jab, that's entirely your right. Just like it's your right to commit suicide, it's your right to take heroin, it's your right to do all kinds of dangerous things from doing it. But you should make that decision based on real information. And that's what I get angry about. They're not giving you the real information. They're not telling you what's going on because they have a hidden agenda. Okay. Remdesivir is identified as the prescription of choice in the U.S. And Fauci, again, I get angry, Fauci, who falsely marketed that HIV caused AIDS, we have four major issues that can cause AIDS, and believe me, HIV has never been proven to be one of them. But he made millions on that, billions probably. He lied about providing funds and direction for gain-of-function research. He spent $191 billion taxpayers' dollars on the Wuhan research. And he also played a horrific part in the history of remdesivir. So what happened? Dr. Brian Ardus, he does a great job. And again, I've given you a couple of references for him. I like listening to people who know their stuff. He explains the studies beautifully. It began in Africa. There was actually two different studies. They were supposed to be a year long. I believe one stopped in 3 months and the other one stopped in 6 months. Why did they stop? Because that prescription drug, remdesivir, which they were clinically studying at the cost of people in Africa, not the first time, and of course Gates and Fauci, I think Gates was on that one too, but definitely Fauci. Both studies were shut down because 54% of the people getting the shot were dying. And he has the audacity to stand up and say that it is safe, and that is what the doctors are required to inject in COVID patients, kidneys, and you die. There isn't sufficient dialysis machines to support all these people in North America, in the U.S. 54% died, and he says it's safe. How can you believe anything? He has to spit out of his mouth. Yes, I get very angry with him. Actually, I love the saying. People have started calling him, I've seen it several times now by different people, people have started calling him Darth Fossey. Obviously, a takeoff of Darth Vader in Star Wars, they're now calling him Darth Fossey, proclaiming it is safe. I just don't have words to describe how angry I get at him. So the question is, are you willing to buy into this nonsense? Are you willing to stand in line and get this jab that is not a vaccination? It is a bioweapon. It is killing people around the world. And if you don't die within the first 3 days or the first 6 weeks or what have you, some scientists are saying up to 70% may die within 2 to 3 years. Holy cow, that is scary. Are you willing to believe what you see and hear on the media that is bought and paid for by corrupt politicians? Are you willing to abide by medical, quote, experts who are bought and paid for? We've talked about this for years. CEOs of journals like, I'm so pissed off right now, Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, saying that over 50% of the articles published are outright wrong and the remaining 50% are questionable and you can't trust any of the experts because they're paid off. Those quotes are like 8 years old, for crying out loud. That's not just current people. 8 years old. Are you willing to listen to these experts that lie through their teeth to get paid? Just as an aside, I've asked Nicole, there's another article by the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta and going through a number of issues, just like we had last week or the week before, the Physicians and Surgeons of the Okanagan Valley in BC. We've got another beautifully written article by another group of physicians and surgeons saying all the same stuff that we've been talking about for ages, but you know, we're happy that when a physician actually stands up and says, yeah, I know, this is unreal. So you might want to read that one too. So again, are you willing to believe what you see and hear on media that's bought and paid for by corrupt politicians looking for control? Or do you have the wherewithal to question, to do your own research, to find out what resonates with you, to recognize the incredible number of lies that you are being told daily? Are you willing to stand up to the system? Now, I know there's a lot of different reasons why people will give in and take the jab even when they're against it. Peer pressure, happy wife, happy life, thinking you will be able to travel, which may not be the case, needing a job and the employer requiring it. There's all kinds of, I put et cetera, because I'm sure there's all kinds of other excuses and reasons. But this is your life, and it may be your death. It's your health, and it may be blindness or paralysis or something else. 2 million cases. You do have a choice. And some of the things I've suggested is go to actionforcanada.com, go to Vaccine Choice Canada, that's another one. Get the information in your local area. What is the Constitution say about your rights? What are your Charter of Rights? Are they legislating? Are they imposing things that are illegal and that they could actually stand for jail or to be hung for crimes against humanity? You can go to sites like Dr. David Martin. You can go to an infamous lawyer, worldwide, world-renowned Raymer Fielmarsh. We've given you all these different sites over the last several weeks, if not months. There's all kinds of them. We have doctors standing up around the world saying, hold on a minute, wait a minute. Worse than the gas chambers in Nazi Germany, Auschwitz, because it's being marketed to your benefit. It's like being told you're going to get a shower and clean clothes and you actually enter into a gas chamber. You have no idea what it's going to do to your health, neurologically, physiologically, emotionally, what have you. We even have cases, and I can't validate this, but I've heard of several people now say they're totally against it. But they wake up in the morning and they've got this thing going on in their head, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. what I've asked, does it happen to be near a 5G tower? And as much as there's only a few cases, yes, they are. But my concern is, hold on a minute, what did David Martin tell us about the helix being a vibrational frequency and that they would be able to control people using the 5G with the helix? Is that what's going on? I haven't any idea, but it's a good question to ask. I want to fight for you. I'm very passionate, angry, I'm pissed off that we have allowed things to get so far that they are so corrupt that they will market this. I mean, we know that the marketing has been paid for. We've got all the evidence. It's not a question. It is. But what are you going to do about it? Okay, that's my rant for today. So you've got my article for the day, which has those two primary articles in it, but you also have some other references in it as well. And you've got, I'm hoping, Nicole putting up on that article as well, the Collagen Physicians and Surgeons of Alberta, which is another province in Canada, in case you didn't know that. Okay, so on a lighter note, if I can find it. Give me a moment here. I thought, I need to get off this pedestal because I get so passionate about it. Let's go to gardening. Something else I'm passionate about, but happy passionate as opposed to angry passionate. There's a significant difference. So let's clean out all that negativity because I keep telling you, don't get caught up in the negativity. You want to use your emotions. You want to use your prayers, your meditations, your yogas, your whatever you use for coping, your guided imagery, etc. You want to use that to create something good and healthy to come out of this nonsense that we're in. So this is one way I do it. I go back to my gardening. I get all angry and pissed off, and then I clean it all out and get rid of it by going to my gardening. So I'm doing that for you too. Now, one of the things I've often said, as much as I have a PhD in nutrition and a master's in herbal medicine, nutrition is for your basic health. When you go sideways, herbal medicine, in my mind, is a lot more powerful because herbal medicine, herbs are a lot more intense in nutrient density, word I'm looking for. That's my perspective. So I have, I've said before, I have, 22 different raised gardens. 4x4s and 3x5s and 2x6s have all different shapes and sizes for different things. And one of them is just for herbs. And these are kitchen herbs. Now, I don't make my herbs into tinctures to sell to clients. And I don't do that because I don't have a laboratory to prove that they are clean. So I bring in my herbal tinctures. But man, do we use an awful lot of herbs out of the garden, both in the cooking, to make teas, to make stuff for ourselves. And if you have extra herbs that you've grown in your windowsill, on your deck, on your patio, in your 2-foot spot of a garden or in your massive garden, make sure that you keep all the effort you've got to go through the winter. Now, plants like rosemary are very hardy and they can withstand the winters, not a problem, although I do put them into a pot and put them on my deck. And chives are great for coming back in the fall. You know, they come back no matter what. But for all the ones I want during the winter, I want my fresh herbs. When they come into Canada, I don't know about your country, but when they come into Canada, they're radiated. And when they're radiated, that kills a lot of the medicinal components in them. So I don't like buying herbs. I want my herbs I know are grown in beautiful soil and are incredibly healthy. So things like basil, chives, mint, of course, that goes like a weed, oregano, sage, thyme. When I've got extras of those, I dehydrate them. Okay, so if you have a dehydrator, that is a great way. Now, you can do them in all kinds of different ways. I think there's four major ways you can dry herbs. I borrow a friend's a really good dehydrator. I spent the weekend dehydrating those herbs. I have a ton of them. And they are going in. And so now that the fall is coming, I spent the weekend dehydrating them. Once I've dehydrated them and crushed them into little bits, Then I put them in, I actually put them in baggies and roll the baggies to crush them and then use a rolling pin on them. And then we freeze them. I don't bother using those kind at this point in the year because we just still have so much that's growing in the garden. We can eat them fresh right out of the garden. But you can also hang them to dry. That's another common method. It's probably the oldest method I know of. So in the hothouse, I have ropes going in certain areas, and I hang things like the carrot tops. Carrot tops at one time were said to be poisonous. They're not. They're very effective. You can make all kinds of things with the carrot tops. And so I hang those and dry those as well, and they can be used throughout the winter. With this current weird weather we're having, you can regrow all kinds of stuff that, I think I said a few weeks ago, I've replanted my pole beans and they're producing from new seeds. It's weird. And of course, now there's another side way we can go. They have actually acknowledged that they've been trying to control the weather since World War II. In the last 5 years, they've got terrifically more effective at it, to the point that they can actually snow plastic down in Texas. It's like, really? Okay. How much of this is being controlled? We really don't know. We've talked about it in other programs, but we won't go into it here. I'm just saying that with what we have going on right now, you might want to keep things going in the garden. Actually, I said my carrots I dry. Let's add into that. Mustard greens are great. Any of your greens like that are great to dry. Beet greens, etc. Even a garage will do as much as I do it in the hothouse. Any place that's dry will do. What else was I going to say about? Oh, yeah. We talked about determinant and indeterminate tomatoes. Determinants are the ones that produce a whole bunch at one time in and grow shorter, bushier, typical forms. The indeterminate are the ones that can grow 5, 6, 7 feet high, and they grow all season long. Well, my determinant supposedly was finished a month or so ago. They're producing new tomatoes now. Like, hold on a minute, you're not supposed to be doing that. So again, our weather is having a really weird process. My zucchinis, which basically had finished a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden I got a whole bunch of new flowers on it, so I'm getting new zucchinis there too. My pole beans, like I said, they're coming back, and they shouldn't be at this time of the year. They should be finished, but who knows. On the other hand, if we look at what could you grow at this time, what normally would you be growing at this time, let's look at that. All your cold weather vegetables. So, for instance, your leafy vegetables like spinach, which is so easy to grow. And I think I said before, I have a pulled spinach this year, which I've never had before. It's very, very good. Smaller leaf, but very good. You can plant your spinaches again. Your lettuces, especially your romaine lettuces and your mustard greens, those you can start planting again. Your bok choys, and there's over 100 varieties. They're easy to grow, and they love the cold, and they only take about 30 days before you can start harvesting. Kale and your Swiss chard, all your different types of Swiss chard, are also cold weather plants, so make sure you get a wide variety. I love all the colorful Swiss chards. Snow peas are great for fall harvesting. You can plant those. Carrots. Make sure, I'm pulling up carrots that I planted back in the spring. I think I've grown every month, the first of every month, I plant a bunch more carrots, and I've just planted a whole bunch more. They are also a cold vegetable that you can, cold weather vegetable you can grow. Now, carrots are fantastic. Get the purple ones and the white ones and the orange ones. Don't just get the orange ones that you see in the stores. Typically see in the store. Get a multitude of colors because each color gives you different nutrients, right? The pigmentation that's required for the different colors are great. Beet, another root, also, of course, the beet leaves. We have pickled probably about 12 quarts of beets and in a variety of colors. Again, beets are like carrots. You can get the yellow ones, the orange ones, the red ones, the purple ones, etc. But they can be seeded again right now. They take about 60 days to yield a crop. Cabbages, we've already done lots of cabbages. I don't really pickle a lot of cabbage. I don't think I pickled any this year, but what I made was a ton of cabbage rolls. But they can be planted now again as well, although they do take up to about 75 days. And again, you can get them in different colors. Broad beans and peas are pretty hardy, and they can be planted now actually for the spring. Radishes can be. Now, some types of onions can be harvested throughout the year. There's so many different types. I mean, even your broad categories of green onions and shallots and cooking onions and your white onions and, I mean, Walla Walla onions are very sweet. You've got all your different types of onions. And onions are pretty good because they'll grow through the summer, but they are more of a cold crop. So if you plant them now, then you will get not only some for the fall, but they'll be wisely planted to come up for an early spring crop as well. Again, try different onions. And again, with all these different species will work well in different zones. That's what I was saying. I'm giving you a generalization, but depending on what zone you live in, will determine even with regard to a given crop, say, if we use onions as an example, which onions grow best in your zone in whichever season we're looking at. So take a look at those. I'm just giving you ideas that hopefully will trigger some thought. If you're not into gardening, if you aren't gardening, this is a whole hat. But if you're not, let's take another sidestep. We've been told now for quite a while there's going to be a major food shortage. I suggested this way back a year ago, March. If they're going to prevent farmers from bringing immigrants typically in to harvest their produce, then the farmers aren't going to plant. Why bother planting if you can't harvest it? Secondly, in the States, a program, I think it was started in 1988, that required farmers to put the produce, whatever they have, back into the soil. Now, that on the surface is a really good plan. If you go back to the seven-year plans that they used to have with regard to planting and harvesting, soils went through a seven-year program, and that allowed the soil to stay rich, nutrient-dense. But what's happening in the States is intermittently different governments require that the farmers put the produce back into the soil in order to get their grant money. So now they haven't sold the crops that they have. They're living off the grant money, and they're going into bankruptcy, which is why between the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and Gates, apparently, I've heard this many, many times and haven't done the research to validate it, but supposedly Gates and CCP own most of the agricultural soils in the U.S. because of what they're doing to farmers. So we're getting less and less food production. Now, there's five major food companies in the world, and they control everything. And repeatedly we're hearing we're coming up against shortages like you wouldn't believe. And we've already seen last year prices, and again, we said this as of March of 2020, you're going to see your food prices go way up. That was a good reason to start planting your own garden, apart from the fact that then that you know that your food is nutrient dense and not toxic to you. And we suggested at that time, too, that the food banks were going to need a huge amount more, and they were going to get even less. So if you didn't grow it for yourself, then grow it for the food banks. Well, the funds or the cost of food went way up, definitely. And in some places, it's doubled and tripled. Well, now they're saying it's going to go up another 30%. Food is being used as well, people, to control you. And there's all kinds. If you actually read the protocols, the journey that's expected to come out, we said the whole step one, step two, step three, four, and five is supposed to happen up until 2030, so they have full control over everybody. Food is definitely an issue, is number one. Food control is number two. Water supply is number three. this has all been orchestrated. So as much as we're going to fight it to the nth degree to try and turn it around and be successful in creating a new, better world, in the process, we want to make sure that we have enough food to be able to do that fight. So again, I encourage you, please, grow your own food, whether it's the herbs on the windowsill, even in the wintertime, you can grow like cherry tomatoes, You can get grow lights and grow all kinds of things. If you're facing north, you want the grow lights can help you grow things inside. If you've got decks, if you've got patios, if you've got a small yard, if you've got a large yard, turn out the grasses. Turn the grasses into producing food that's nutrient dense for you. Okay. So having said all that, one of the things you want to be aware of right now is we're going to start getting into how to prepare your gardens for the winter overlay, if you want. So now would be a good time to start finding out in your district where you can get organic horse manure, organic cow manure, organic chicken manure, and, of course, the best is the rabbit manure, or treasures, if you want to call it that. So we have just started actually filling up all our bins with the different farmers that are organic and making sure that we can now top up our raised garden beds with a good kitchen manure, which is what you've been composting, hopefully, from all your kitchen supplies, as well as what you've been pruning out of your gardens. Hopefully you've been making your own, what's called garden manure from that. I also collect, we eat a lot of fish, so I collect everything left over from the fish, all the skins and cartilages and what have you, and I make a fish manure. And then, of course, we have all the other manures as well so that we have really good, rich gardens. Now, not all vegetables require a rich garden like that. So some, I organize what I put where. But, man, we have had one phenomenal production this year. We've got blueberry syrups and raspberry syrups. I've got blueberry, raspberry, Asian plum and orange, which and with nutmeg and cardamom, and apple jams. We've got all kinds of jams. And then we've got all the pickled carrots, and we've got pickled beets and pickled cauliflower. We've got pickled green beans and broad beans and pole beans and bush beans. Just a ton of really, really good, healthy food. And, of course, when you make your own pickling food, you get a lot better supply of bacteria that's not depleted because of the toxins that they put in to give shelf life and to keep the colorants and what have you. And typically when you do it yourself, you can keep it for at least a year and a half. So we have almost 100 jars of different things that have been pickled and jammed and done whatever to make a good food supply for the winter. Oh, let's not forget tomatoes, stewed tomatoes and pickled tomatoes and all kinds of tomatoes. Okay, so we want you to think about what you want to do to prepare your gardens for the spring. If you haven't done, you might want to start a good winter project to make some raised garden beds. And in the meantime, we want you to be really healthy and really supported throughout the week to just to be healthy, to stand up, to be alive, to be part of the humanity that we were brought up in. I wish you the very, very best. Hope you make really good decisions, and I hope I've given you sufficient information to make healthy decisions with. So on that note, I'm Dr. Holly with Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness, the Whole Health Integrative Program on Nicole's News for the Soul. Don't forget, all the articles for the last 6 years have been archived on the website. So if you want to go to old stuff, it's there for you. She's done a fantastic job. As always, we want to say thank you to Nicole. She does a fantastic job. So there you go. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to Live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
On News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Not Too Late Show, where it is never too late to step into your power, to express your gift, or to discover your genius. Turn up your light, step out, and be the gift you came here to be. I am your host, Miche Meisner. This is one of my very favorite places to be and share awesome people and their exceptional wisdom and magical woo. And today, I'm here with my very special guest, me. So we don't know. It's always interesting when I'm running by myself without a cohort guest to interview and discuss with. So who knows where we're going to wind up, but where we're going to start pretty much is talking to yourself, which funnily enough, now here I am talking to myself, but I'm talking to you too. And I invite you to call in or to send an email if you want to talk with me too, if you want to ask any questions about how to connect with your higher self, higher mind, how to talk to your inner wisdom, who I just today named your inner whiz, inner wizard. Any questions or you want to share any stories or comments, please call in and join me here. The phone number is 646-595-4274. It's also listed on links, maybe wherever you found how to get onto the show in the first place. 646-595-4274 or email us at ontheair@telus.net. That's TELUS.net. ontheair@telus.net. All right. Well, we got that out of the way. So I just turned 61 a couple of days ago, and good for me. I already know that it's never too late because, you know, there's some things that I haven't really gotten wise to until maybe just a few years ago. And it would be easy to think that, well, it's too late, you know, like, so what now, you know, you're in your 60s, you're over the hill or whatever. And in fact, well, we never know what's in our future, but I figure I have at least another good 20 years in me. And you can live a lot of life. You can have a lot of career. You can learn a lot of things. You can have great friendships that, you know, are just starting or that are moving on to a newer, grander, bigger scheme of connection. So whatever your age is, wherever you're at, don't think that, you know, you're too late for something or you missed your boat. You know, maybe if you wanted to like get into the NFL or something, but I'm guessing that if you're on this show listening to me, that's probably not an aspiration, at least not now. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Let's see, just I got to keep an eye on things in case somebody actually does call in or write in. Nicole or someone on the switchboard is going to let me know, so we'll see how that goes. You know, I figure we all talk to ourselves, and we all get information and messages and knowledge, like from, I guess I would call it like our larger self or the part of us that has a bigger perspective, that is has greater awareness than we in our everyday 3D personality minds are connected with. Just a reminder that you can call in to ask questions about how to connect with your inner wisdom or your higher self, your higher mind. If you want some ideas, you know, of how to tap into that, I think I'll probably be leading us on a little journey, a little short journey later to help make some connections for people. You know, but if you have some specific questions, maybe it's something that you've been trying to do and you don't feel like you're getting it, or a lot of times people are feeling like they're getting something, but they don't really know what it is and can it be trusted. And so if you want to call in and talk about that, ask questions about that, you're welcome to do that. If you have some cool stories about hearing from your own higher self or inner wisdom, please also call in to share. So those are, you know, a couple of things that you can do. Otherwise, I'm just going to riff here on the topic, right? So we're always receiving, but we're not always paying attention. You know, for years I have been aware of what I would call my little voice, and it would frequently say things, maybe for you too, like, you know, slow down when you're driving on the highway, right? And what you don't realize is maybe not, you know, your driver's ed teacher in the back of your head saying slow down, but it could actually be your inner wisdom picking up, you know, sensing that there's, you know, other than the general reason, that there's actually a good reason to slow down. Like, you know, there's a cop with radar, you know, around the corner, or there's, you know, some slowdown ahead and you need to pay more attention. And for a long time, I was aware of these little nudges or little voices. But the trick is, once you know you're hearing them, is to give them some credence, you know, and maybe, like, act accordingly and pay attention, because it could be, you know, something as serious as somehow saving your life. And it could be something as simple as, you know, you want to go out for a cup of coffee and you're not sure where to go, and you can't really decide, but if you just be quiet in yourself for a moment, you may feel more drawn to one place than another. And it may very well be because that place is open and the other place is closed. Or I actually had an experience once where I was in town doing errands, and I wanted to stop somewhere and, you know, get some lunch. And I just felt really torn about these two places. And finally, I went with the one that was sort of sounding louder in my head. And when I did, I wound up running into my ex, who was having lunch there as well. And you might cringe and think, oh, no. But actually, it was a good thing, because it had been a while since we had spoken, or, you know, since I'd seen her. And we actually sat down and had a nice connection, you know, that would not have happened had I not run into her there. You know, she wasn't really on my list of, you know, phone calls to make or people to catch up with, and yet it felt very good to do that. And, you know, just listening to a little nudge or a little voice that kind of pushed in one direction or another. And it can be so quiet that it's hard to hear. And it can also be loud enough to hear, but not make nearly enough sense that you're going to want to follow through. Like, you know, I give an example of walking out of the house, you know, to go about your day, and, you know, something tells you to, I don't know, to grab a first aid kit even, or, right, that you've not had in your car forever, but you maybe notice it on the shelf on your way out, and, you know, your little voice says yes, and if you do, you may be glad, because you're going to really need a Band-Aid out of that kit, you know, a couple hours from now. And if you don't, you may be sorry, because you're really going to need a Band-Aid a couple hours from now, and you're not going to have one, but you're going to make that mental connection, maybe, and notice, oh, yeah, you know, that kind of came up for me a minute ago. And when you do that, the more you can do that and notice it, and sometimes, you know, it's easier to notice it when you did hear what you had to say and you didn't follow it, and then something clearly came up, you know, where it could have been useful if you had followed it. You know, it's the way to start learning to trust yourself, you know, and to pay attention to those little voices or little nudges. If we try to reason with them or logic with them, most of the time it's going to fail, you know, and we will just talk ourselves out of it, you know, be like, I don't know, you know, I'm just going down to the post office only a mile away. Why would I need to grab that first aid kit right now and put it in the car? It's been sitting on the shelf for, you know, 6 months. And we talk ourselves out of many things like that. So with just those little mildly cautionary tales, I invite you to start listening to yourself a little more. Now, I don't mean to listen more to those little voices that are like the nagging, critical, angry, judgmental, you know, sort of talk to you like with their hands on their hips, giving you what for. That's a whole nother thing. You know, that is about, you know, conditioning and limiting beliefs and, you know, not trusting ourselves. And your inner wisdom and your higher self are never going to talk to you like that. So if that's what you're getting, it's time to, you know, dial in somebody else and call in someone else to talk to. And you can do that. You know, you can actually just sit quietly and say, you know, so my own higher mind, my inner wisdom, higher guidance, you know, ask a question and sit and see if an answer arises. Okay, we have a caller. Thank you, because who knows where I was going to wind up. Caller with all ones. Well, hi, who are you? Where are you coming from? Calling from. Hello. Okay. Somebody's there. They're on. Hello. Maybe you don't know you're on, or maybe you just called to listen, and that's cool too. But if you, yeah, okay, we're moving on. So perhaps you were listening to your little voice, and it suggested in a kind way, not in like a mean critical way, you know, like, well, what were you thinking? You know, perhaps it suggested that, I don't know, you needed to go do something else, or that this was not your best moment to hop on a radio and ask me whatever. If you change your mind, or if your higher mind changes its mind, feel free to, you know, call in again and see about getting on and talking with me. You can also email for anybody, you know, if you don't want to be heard speaking on the radio, you can email again at ontheair@telus.net, TELUS.net. So, as I rein myself in here from a moment of rambling, I also wanted to mention, like, there's different ways to tap into our own greater awareness and knowing. And some of them are more external than others. Like, you may be familiar with using a pendulum, the idea of using a pendulum. Well, basically, you're holding a string or a chain with something with a little bit of weight on the bottom of it, and you can ask questions. You can establish first it's working off of like our greater knowing and even micro movements in our body and our hands. We are actually helping to move the pendulum in a back and forth kind of way, or in a clockwise or counterclockwise circle. We are definitely part of the process, but it's a way to kind of get around the logical, critical, everyday mind and to ask questions and allow a deeper part of ourselves to answer. And that can be a nice way to start sometimes, because like I said, it's external. You see what's happening, you know, rather than feeling like, oh, did I just hear something? Did I get something? Did I feel a nudge? So that can be useful. There's a system of, personal growth called Access Consciousness. And one of the things they teach is just simply that when you say something that's true or hear something that's true for you, if you're paying attention, you will feel lighter in your body. And if it's not true for you, you will feel heavier. So a couple of just simple ways to begin to access more of us that we have available, right? So, so I'm going to take us on just a little short journey. I do a longer process where we really, this is more sort of full-bodied, more details, more things going on in it, but I'm going to take out some of those moving parts and just keep it short to give you kind of a taste of it. And if it's something that appeals to you, you let me know, and if we get enough people, I will, teach it on the Not Too Late Show page or something. I'll do a live. But for now, you can call out or call in, I guess, however you're looking at it, to your own higher self. And as I was saying before, it can start with quieting your mind and sort of settling down a little bit so that you can even notice what is coming to you or what is bubbling up from within you. It doesn't always feel like it is like a voice within you, so it may feel like it's, something that's coming to you, and it's also not always a voice. Sometimes it's something that you might see or a feeling or whatever. We have kind of different dominant ways, each of us, that we notice things or interact, and that's something that can be useful to know. We can also help to build up the other ways too, so that we have more of a wide selection of how to receive messages and understandings and wisdom. Okay, so that said, assuming that you are in a safe place to sit quietly and close your eyes for a few moments, we're going to just, like I said, keep it brief, but enough hopefully to give you a taste of this. So if you would close your eyes, and I want you to imagine yourself in some quiet environment, something that feels good and comfortable and uplifting to you. So whether you can be on a beach somewhere and on an island, you could be out in the forest. You could be looking out the window at a sunset in your home, or just, sitting quietly right where you are. But the idea of relaxing and just letting any stress or worries kind of fall away, and to be open, just be curious in the moment. And so wherever you find yourself, I would like you to create some space in that place that maybe that fits. Like, if you're in the forest, you might like a treehouse space, a more private, secluded spot within whatever place you're in. And this could be like your special meeting place with your higher self. And so I want it to be a place that feels comfortable to you, that feels safe, where, it's in a smaller, secluded spot, like your little office or your lounge or a nook that feels special within this larger, comfortable, expansive environment. And we can furnish it and really get comfortable. So what is that environment that you're in? And how are you going to be in there? Do you need a couch? Do you want a recliner? Will you sit on the ground, on a blanket or on a cushion, cross-legged, or just whatever? How do you want to be in this moment? And what sounds, if any, would you like to accompany this meeting maybe birds, maybe nature, maybe a waterfall, or some soothing music, or wind chimes, something. So just all of this to take a little bit of time and set the scene, set the stage for yourself to be someplace that feels like you. It feels like it's got your choices, your energetic, your special spot, which, as we're going to call in, your higher self, which you are already part of and already connected to. Whatever you're picking and choosing for this space and time is naturally going to be agreeable to the greater part of you that you're calling in. So settle yourself in this space. And you can, if you have a question, you know, you can be ready to ask that, but just, you know, just imagine that it's your higher self arriving at the space that you've created and invite them in. However, you know, you might, a good friend, a dear friend, and invite them in. You could, you know, invite them to sit with you. They could float on the ceiling, whatever. It's a combination of what shows up and what you might choose. If nothing, you know, if nothing is coming sort of its own, make something up. Because even when we make things up, there is some natural level of truth and awareness in it, because of all the gazillion million things that you could ever make up at any moment. Why this one, and why now? So, invite your higher self to come into your space and sit with you or be with you, however they are. What does that feel like? Do you notice anything? Do you see anything? Just stay aware and open. And you may notice something and you may not, and that's okay. Partly, you know, I'm sharing this with you so that you can create a space in your mind that you can come back to anytime, you know, that you can just take a few moments and be there, or take a long stretch of time and just sit there and feel it. Maybe ask a question, maybe call out and say, you know, hey, hi, I'm here. I would like to meet you. I would like to talk with you. I would like to ask you something, and I would like to hear your response or receive an answer. You can try that out now. Right, and I feel like my higher mind, my intuitive sense is telling me, I feel like there are people connecting with their own higher guidance, meeting them maybe for the first time, meeting yourself in that way. And this aspect of ourselves is just, it just runs on love. So it's never going to be that critical, judgmental voice. It's never going to tell you, you know, that who you are or what you're doing is wrong or something. It can give you advice. It can offer a perspective. But it's always going to be done from love. And it's always going to be with your highest good, your best outcome, and most loving perspective for you in your life. And if somebody is showing up in your space and they're not treating you that way or being that way, they are not your higher self, and you can ask them to leave or tell them to leave. But I believe that when you create this space, when you make a space that, like we're doing, and basically we're holding, you know, a sacred circle here for each of us to invite more of who we are into the mix, into the conversation. And I'm talking about these things now, sort of holding the energy, holding the field. But while I'm saying these things and helping to hold that vibration, I hope you're, you know, going ahead and meeting with or talking or just feeling the space that you're in, getting to know it. It's like the space that you created in your mind is an aspect of yourself, an aspect of your vibration and your frequency. I will just hold that energy and be relatively silent for a few moments. And you could ask yourself, your wisdom, your inner wizard, if there's parting gift that they would like to offer to you, or a word or a phrase, some wisdom that would be useful for you to kind of carry with you energetically through your days. So take a moment and ask for this gift. And without deciding what it is or what it should be, to just allow this to come to you, to receive it. And you can thank your higher self. You can hug. You can wave. You can dissolve into particles of light. Whatever comes up, or whatever feels good to you. And now I invite you to maybe close up your space, you know, come out of the smaller meeting space into your larger space, whatever that was. And then even more to come out of that space and be fully present in this moment, in your body, in the room, the space that you are physically in. And there you have it, a little bit of creating an inner sanctuary in order to connect with your own inner wisdom, higher self. I guess I use the terms interchangeably. Sometimes it feels more internal, more inward, and other times it may feel more external. If anyone would like to share on the radio with me what that experience was like for you, either calling in or emailing, I would love to hear it, and I bet other people would love to hear it too. We learn from each other and each other's experiences. The phone number, again, is 646-595-4274, and the email is ontheair@telus.net, TELUS.net. Well, I'm feeling all calm and mellow and spacious after that. This is a sort of journey I take people on fairly often, particularly in my Cosmic Alignment Tribe Facebook group. And I love the part of, you know, asking, receiving a gift. Sometimes it's from our higher self. Sometimes I'm sort of conducting us to meet with elders or ancestors, you know, or just depending on what your question is, what you're looking for, you know, to kind of tap in from the infinite field of possibilities to just tap into awareness and information. And you just never know what you're going to receive. You know, it could be, I don't know, a rock. It could be a piano. And I don't know why those came up for me either, but that's sort of part of how it is just allowing your mind to be a little bit loose and your heart to be open. All right, we've got an email from Teresa in Ontario. How can we get my anxiety and depression under control? Meditation helps in the moment, but I always go right back into fear afterwards. Yeah, well, I can sure understand that, and I myself have spent much of my life with depression, not so much anxiety. But I think depression and anxiety are sort of kindred spirits in that, I mean, okay, there's like, you know, can be physical, biological things going on, right, that are affecting that. So, I mean, we are physical beings and there are physical circumstances. The areas in which I feel we can make change and work at having some control is our mind and our thoughts, what we allow ourselves to dwell on or think about. And meditation, as you're saying, helps you in the moment because it helps you be in the moment. And then as soon as you stop meditating, and by you, I mean most of us, we're right back into, you know, the thinking that we were having, which is causing or feeding anyway the feelings that we were having, right? And the idea is you're not so much like, okay, you know, I meditate for 5 minutes, for 20 minutes, for an hour, whatever it is, you know, and that's good and like it helps. Yes, but as soon as you stop, you have to kind of keep bringing that same mentality into the rest of your time, right? Like when I was training with lamas more seriously in Tibetan Buddhism, and, you know, we were actually sitting on meditation cushions, you know, they would talk about you have to take what you're doing on the cushion and you have to do it off the cushion, right? So it's not enough to work at being mindful or in the moment while you are sitting to meditate or walking meditation, whatever you might be doing. It's to, you're training that muscle almost. You're training your mind to go where you want to go more often than have it take you where it's running off to. And so, you know, you may need to do that like 10 times in a minute sometimes, where you just come back to what is true now. And that's what is true now as a question is a very simple tool to help people get out of that spinning, right? The spinning and the worry of the anxiety or that feeling maybe of just heaviness and worry or pain, emotional pain of depression, that you know, it arises somewhere, and there's also many ways that we kind of feed it and keep it alive without meaning to, without even knowing that we are doing it. And one of the ways is when we sit around thinking about, you know, oh my God, what is going to happen? Or, oh, I did this and now it means that. And I mean, this is how we're brought up. This is how society mostly works, but it's not a very workable scenario. What is much more helpful, especially when you're already suffering from anxiety and depression, is to ask yourself, what is true now? And the answer to that question is looking at what is very present, very real here in this moment. So it's not, you know, it's not the worries, it's not the future thinking, it's I'm wearing brown pants, I'm speaking into a microphone, I'm on the radio, I'm talking to Teresa, and saying four or five things in fairly rapid succession will help pull you out of whatever your mind is spinning in. And again, like I was saying, you may have to just do this, you know, really repeated. Like you think, I do it once and I'll do it again in an hour. No, you may, okay, well, it's already coming up again. I need to do good again. What is true now? My cell phone is on the table. I have a pen and a piece of paper next to it. And the lights are on. There's a yellow chair and a blue chair next to me. And to just, as you keep doing that, it's another way to train your mind, train your brain to kind of come back, right? To reel it in. We think that these fears, these things, the things that we fear are in this moment, but most of the time they're not. In this moment, often things are more okay than we give them credit for, right? I'm sitting here now. I have shelter. I have a roof over my head. I have something that I can send an email with, right? So I'm sitting. I have a computer. I'm safe in this moment. And to really keep it as very much this moment as needed or as is true. I mean, that's all we really have is this moment, and we keep filling it with other moments, but those moments aren't real in this moment. So I hope that is useful, helpful. It's not a complete answer, but it's part of a bigger picture, you know, of how to help ourselves stay out of anxiety. And stay out of, or maybe not even stay out of, maybe it's just to uplift it a bit, right? The other thing is that I know for myself, you know, for years and years, I would say, you know, I'm depressed. And it was as if that's who I am. And that's not, we're not our feelings. We have feelings. We have feelings that seem to drag on and on and on and on and on. But it's still not who we are. We are this bigger self, this greater awareness that I've been inviting us to, you know, feel and tap into, that does not have as an intrinsic quality anxiety or depression or fear. It's like we are this big, open, vast sky. And all these feelings and thoughts and worries are the weather that pass through it. And part of it is to notice that even like the weather, you know, if you live in Oregon for sure, whatever the weather is right now, chances are in 20 minutes it's going to be a different weather. And to not see ourselves or put ourselves in this package of like, a whole day or a whole month. It's like, you know, I've been depressed all month. Could be that over the course of this last month, you have been depressed. And it's not even possible that we can hold that one emotion all the time. I think when we're sleeping, even, you know, a depressed person is not necessarily depressed their entire sleeping time. you know, or you hear a joke and for a moment you're uplifted. So, you know, to look at those moments and to value them. I'm kind of rambling here, but I hope it's making sense. Okay, and so, I'm gonna leave that topic, and hopefully, Teresa, that was helpful. And you can always reach out to me, you know, on Facebook through the Not Too Late Show Facebook group, or message me or whatever, and I'd be happy to talk with you and see if there's, you know, some other guidance or suggestions I could offer you. Andrew in New York wrote in and says, I'm finding it difficult to get motivated. It's been increasingly difficult over the last year. I feel like I've tried everything I know, but nothing is helping. Got it. And I think, you know, you are in good company with that, with just all the upheaval and changes that have been happening in our world. It's been turning a lot of people upside down, and yeah, it can be just a challenge to just be here and make things happen. So, yeah, you know, again, it's like the stories that we tell ourselves are going to affect our ability to feel motivated. The more you are sure of your story that everything you've tried, or that you've tried everything and nothing is helping, well, if you've tried everything that you know, okay, so that's a good place to start right there, because there's a whole lot of things that you don't know that you haven't tried. And it doesn't matter how many times up until now something has, you know, stalled or felt difficult or been unclear as to, you know, the way forward. It doesn't create your future. I remember years ago listening to Wayne Dyer talk about the idea of, if you're going in a boat in the water, a motorboat, you can look behind. The boat is creating a wake, and that is your past. And there's nothing about that wake that is actually affecting where the boat is going now and your future. Now, I don't know, some quantum physical nautical person might, you know, have something else to say about it. But the point being is, you know, we get caught in believing that what has gone before is what is going to come next. And it doesn't have to be. So a couple of things whenever you're trying something, you know, if you get a little bit inspired, to not sort of quash it down right away, is to say to yourself, up until now, you know, things have been really difficult for me to be motivated and follow through or whatever it is, up until now, or so far, or, you know, I haven't found the thing that's going to work for me yet. And you're leaving this window open of possibility. And along with that is to ask, again, your higher guidance, your inner wisdom, to ask a question like, you know, what, how can this be easier for me, for example? How can I find the thing that's going to really resonate with me? And the trick with that, well, is to remember to ask those sort of questions, but even more so to not answer them yourself. Because if you answer them, then you're answering them from that same place, from that, you know, from that sort of database of, you know, Andrew has tried everything and nothing is helping. And so the only answers you can come up with then is something that, you know, you've already tried or that you already knew of and dismissed or whatever. So the idea is to ask an open question to your higher self, to universe, to God, however you relate, you know, on a spiritual level. And, you know, like how can this become easier for me? Or where will I find some excitement to motivate me? Any questions like that, that kind of look into a positive potential future, and then allow the universe or your higher self to answer back and bring you something unexpected, similar to, you know, when I was talking about asking for this gift, you know, from your higher self in the space that we created for ourselves. again, it's not like, you know, okay, I want a gift. Oh, I really could use, you know, a pair of sneakers, right? Or, you know, if only I had, you know, the right training program or whatever, like, again, that we think we know it. And it might be those things, but it could also be something totally unrelated to any of that. And when you ask and stay open to receive and don't assume that you know what it is or what it could be, that's when magic can happen and new possibilities can come in. Also, I would say that when it's hard to be motivated by what it is you think you want to do or should do, find something, however small it is, that excites you, that will motivate you. Just in that moment, it could be like, wow, I'm going to make a chocolate shake. I don't know, because that sounds great. And just allow yourself to be motivated with that. And let the energy of motivation be in your experience. Be aware of it. Feel it. And let that be. Again, it's kind of training ourselves, right, to feel something, to training ourselves to move more away from what the story is that we're telling ourselves and the energy that holds, and move into something and a way of being that we would prefer. So, Andrew, I hope that was helpful for you and maybe other folks as well. I hope that this has been useful for you know, those of you who took the time to email your questions, but also anybody who's listening, you know, live as this goes out or listening on the replay. There are a lot of ways that we can support ourselves through difficulties, you know, and supporting ourselves also includes getting support from other people, you know, but I say supporting ourselves because we need to do that, right? Like if there's a friend who can help you see something outside of the hole you're in, still somehow you need to kind of yell out from the bottom of that hole or something so that your friend will hear you, right? So we still have to usually take some kind of action. And actually, okay, so that reminded me of, there's a phrase, which the concept that my friend Barb and I have kind of developed as in our own friendship, but also in the work that we do and teach people around depression, around difficulties. And it's the phrases, I see you and I raise you. And it's the idea that, you know, even I'm talking to you now. No, I don't know you, you know, personally, other than this connection, but knowing that we as human beings are ultimately beings of light who are having a challenging experience here on Earth in this lifetime, I know that whatever you're going through now, you are more than that. You are not just that is like the weather that's moving through your life. And I hold out for you the idea and the concept that it isn't you, that this is, you know, a piece, a portion, a story, a drama, a difficulty that you're living through, and you are more than that. And as you come to know that for yourself, it gives you a different perspective on what you're feeling and what you're going through. So I see you and I raise you. I see who you are in the bigger scheme of things. I hold you up in a time when it's difficult to hold yourself up. I hold you up until you are stronger and more practiced at holding yourself up, and you can also see yourself and raise yourself and know that you're more than whatever is going on in the here and now. And I hope that is helpful for any difficult circumstance and situation. As I close out the show today, I want to tell you about, again, a little bit the Cosmic Alignment Tribe that I have on Facebook. It's through Facebook, but we meet 8 times currently on a month on Zoom. And there's some discussion together sometimes where people are sharing, you know, what are they learning? How are things, you know, getting clearer or new understandings, and then we learn from each other. But I'm also doing different energetic clearings and work around limiting beliefs and these sort of guided visualizations where we're tapping into, you know, other potentials. And so for anyone that sounds interesting, you can learn more about it at this link, and I'll also put it in the Not Too Late Show Facebook group, but it's, the link is bit.ly, that's bit.ly/CATSGroup2020. And that will give you the information about it. The group is $33 a month, which is a pretty great deal for having, you know, my energy work and healing and coaching available to you 8 times a month, plus the dozens now since April of recordings that I have of sessions that we've done before. Almost every one of them has some sort of clearing process or channeling work or whatever. So check that out. And the other thing that I want to tell you about is Sunday. This Sunday I am teaching another workshop on spoon bending. Great way also to get out of your own way, and I teach about that too while we're talking about the bending of spoons. And that event is $22 admission, more if you can, less if you can't. You can find more about that, guess where, the Not Too Late Show Facebook group, and also my business page on Facebook, the Spoonbenders Cafe. So check that out. That's happening this Sunday. The Cosmic Alignment Tribe happens twice a week, every week pretty much. And that's what I got for you today. I hope that you found this useful. To everyone here now and later, I see you, I raise you, I wish the best and the greatest expansiveness and the best new version of you that you can grow into. There you have it. Thanks. See you next week. And yeah, okay. Over and out. Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.